WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the word of Almighty God. Lord God, we praise you today. We just exalt you today. We thank you for another day. Thanks for waking us up here today. We praise your holy and magnificent name here today, Almighty God. Lord, we ask for your blessings on this study here now. Use Pastor Darren and his sermon here today to minister to us. Open up our eyes. Show us the truth here in your word. Reveal yourself to us through your word here today. Lord, I pray for all these listeners here today. Everyone who's tuned in here today to hear a word from you, I pray they won't be disappointed. Meet every listener right where they're at here today. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen and amen. If it's the evening and it's 5:30, you got 28 minutes to make it to church tonight. Why don't you do that? Why don't you come by tonight? We're in Romans chapter 6. We're going to have a high time in the Word tonight. We're going to roll out the blackboard. We're going to see where the Lord leads. But every one of these weeks is such an awesome. I mean, Romans is the greatest book in the Bible. Just every week is chock full of excellent teaching. And I'm sure we won't be disappointed here today. I know Paul's going to teach us today in chapter 6 that we're no longer under the law. And I bet we'll probably spend a lot of time looking at what he meant by that. That you and I are no longer under the law, but we're under grace. What does he mean by that? Is that a license to live and do whatever I want because I'm no longer under the law? We're going to answer that question here tonight. So join us if you can. Even if you can't make it, watch us stream the broadcast on Facebook. Tune in to Island Community Church's Facebook page or download the app, Island Community Church FL. And at 6 o'clock, that app's going to turn on live and follow along with us. Send your questions as well. Love to see you tonight. Okay, let's get to this message now. This is the last part of this sermon preached by my right-hand man, my associate pastor, Darren Solana, and this is Lazarus and the Rich Man.
Verse 24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Here this man is in torment, and he's still so arrogant that he wants Abraham to send Lazarus to do his bidding. He still hasn't got this yet. You ever met somebody like that? They just think that, man, that your job in life is to wait on them hand and foot. That they're just so much above you. You know? Send Lazarus. Here's what the guy's asking for. A drop of water. He says that he's going to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He didn't say, send Lazarus with a pitcher. He didn't say, send Lazarus with a case of Zephyr Hills. All he wants is a drop. One drop. But you know something? All that Lazarus wanted was a crumb. So, You don't think Lazarus was experiencing some torment? This man's torment, this heat is so much here that just one drop of water might be able to cool my tongue. One drop of water. But in Lazarus' thinking here on earth, just one crumb might be able to help this appetite. Maybe just one crumb might be able to keep me from starving to death today. It's amazing how quick these tables can turn. Interesting enough, note this too. Notice what the rich man calls Abraham. Then he cried, verse 24, then he cried and said, "Father, Abraham." So notice what he calls Abraham, and notice where he is. Don't miss that. Look at what he's calling Abraham, and notice where he is. He's a Jew. He's a Jew by the title he gives Abraham. Romans 9:6. "For they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called." That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are called as the seed. I'm going to go to John, book of John, chapter 8, verse 37. You can go there if you like. Starting at 37, I'm going to go 37 through 44. It says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil." Let me get back to my place here. Just give me just a minute. We'll continue. Now listen to this concerning the seed. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then," key word, "then, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." It doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? I'm covering some ground here this morning. Note, don't think that because you're doing well in life that God is pleased with you, or because you're facing terrible hardships that God is displeased with you. This parable is not about your financial status. It's about your heart condition. And I know more than a few wealthy Christians who give generously, very generously. And I know more than a few poor folks that are as arrogant as this rich man. Verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, let me back up a little bit. Let me back up to 25 again. But Abraham said, "Son, remember in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented." The tables have turned. You ever thought that sometimes when a person's doing real good, you see an old heathen here on the face of the earth, and they're doing real good in life, and you thought, how is it that that person continues to operate like that? You know? It's just they can continue to live this life like they're living it. It just seems like the money just keeps coming in. You know, and it just gets easier and easier. You ever stop to think that maybe they're receiving their rewards right now? Because they're forfeiting the rewards in heaven. You know, they've got their treasures. Lazarus' treasure is in heaven. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Notice that there's two places. Take note of that. There's two places. There's no in between. And there's no way to get back and forth. Well, that rules out ghosts then, doesn't it? There's no places in between. You're going one place or the other. No place in between. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Hebrews 9:27, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. When you die, you will face judgment, then heaven or hell." No in between, no wandering around on earth, no hanging out with so-and-so, one place or the other. No in between, no ghost. Scott Questions writes, "If there are such things as ghosts, according to the Bible, they absolutely cannot be disembodied spirits of deceased human beings." According to the Bible. I didn't even expect to write this around Halloween. I really did. I'm not trying to do this. 2 Corinthians says 11:14 says, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Well, it would seem like they got the ability to transform into something. You know, so you ain't seeing your dead Uncle Harry. You're seeing a demon masquerading as your dead Uncle Harry. And there are no Casper the Friendly Ghost. There just aren't. And if you saw one, you've been deceived. What's the goal of it? The goal of it is to deceive you. Because the Bible is clear. You're going to one of two places. You're not going to wander around here for the next 100 years. It's a deception. It's put there as a deception to make you discredit the Word of God or disbelieve the Word of God and what the Word of God says. You're going to ask the question, I'm not going to stay there long. What about Samuel and Saul? One instance in the history of the Bible where God allowed this to happen. Don't try to make a doctrine on it. I'm moving on. 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Catch this. This is the very first time that this rich man has thought about anybody other than himself. Very first time. First time he sent Abraham or sent Lazarus. Dip his finger to help cool my tongue. Now he's saying, send them to my brothers. Tell them not to come to this awful place. First time that he's actually thinking of somebody else. I thought, wow. It's too late. Verse 29. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if you do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. They have the word of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by some dead guy showing up in your living room. It's not going to cause you to believe. Period. You know, end of subject. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Here he says, they have Moses and the prophet. They have the word of God. If they don't believe that, even if I send Lazarus, they're not going to believe. They're just not. Because salvation comes through the word. I want to go into this section a little bit deeper. In this next section, I want to speak to pastors and ministers, especially young pastors and ministers like myself. This end segment is about funerals. Now, you might say to me, how does this pertain to funerals? And I'm going to tell you. When pastor preaches a funeral, he preaches Lazarus and the rich man at the funeral because it's a perfect illustration of the two, one in heaven, one in hell. And it's a perfect invitation. It allows you to make a perfect choice. You're going to get the whole story, and there's an invitation. And I get that. And I remember the first time I heard him preach a funeral and preach Lazarus, the rich man. I'm thinking, where is he going with this? Because it's not something that you normally hear preached at a funeral. And I understood afterwards. But it was a short time. I mean, a short time after that, and just a while back, I had a family member pass away. Now, I don't normally do funerals for unsaved people. because I'm not, and he's the same way, because we're not going to get in the pulpit and lie and tell somebody that you're up in heaven and that what a wonderful Christian you were when you weren't, clearly. But I had a family member pass away whom I loved. And my family asked me to preach the funeral. I had a dilemma on my hands. Because I did love them. And I loved my family. And I didn't want to let them down. But I certainly wasn't going to stand in a pulpit and lie. And I was very unsure about where his soul was. And normally, if you're unsure, that's not good. That's not good. So faced with this dilemma, I'm praying about it, seeking God about it. And the parable of Lazarus and the rich man kept coming to my mind over and over again. And I didn't quite understand it. And I'd shrug it off, and then it'd come back to my mind again. And it came back there so many times that I finally got, okay, God, you're trying to tell me something here. You know, but Lazarus and the rich man, and I thought, well, Pastor Paul preaches on Lazarus and the rich man. But I'm thinking, what does that got to do with my dilemma? Because my dilemma is, if I'm able to pull this funeral off, how can I honor my relative who has passed away and stay true to the gospel? And I was really struggling with how I was going to do that, because I was going to walk a very fine line. And I kept praying, seeking God and asking him, and this Lazarus and the rich man came back. And I'm like, how do I preach Lazarus and the rich man at this funeral again? And I heard a voice inside my head that said, the dead guy begs you to. And when I got that, a light bulb went off. Lazarus and the rich man. See, sometimes you might be called to preach a funeral, and we try to honor the person who has passed away by memorializing their life, the things that they've done. But that person might have been a heathen. And there's heathens in that audience that don't want to hear it. And you may think that that person that was a heathen that passed away, that you would do them a grave injustice to preach Christ at their funeral. But that's where you're wrong. They beg you to teach Christ at their funeral. They beg you. The dead man begs you to tell his brothers, to tell his sisters, to tell his family, to tell his friends, don't come to this awful place. He begs you to. Preach the word in season and out. And from that day forward, to preach a funeral, but I preach a funeral the same way I preach Sunday morning. Funerals are for the living. There's all kinds of ears sitting out there that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't think this is appropriate, the dead guy tell you it is.
That's right.
Preach Christ at a funeral. I preached a good funeral that day, didn't I? I did. And you know what? Everybody in that room thought I preached a good funeral, because I simply preached Christ, salvation in Christ, Christ alone. And I just preached. I learned a powerful, powerful lesson about this parable that day. And there's so much in this parable. Certainly one of the main things that we take away from is don't go to that awful place. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You can make a decision today. You don't have to go to that place. You can make a decision today to change your destination. I want, based upon what you've heard of the parable, I want to give you a chance to respond to it. Not so much the people in this room, but the people who are on the web, on the internet, the interweb, people on the radio, people outside this building. Based upon what you hear today, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners by nature and by choice. We receive eternal life as a free gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God demonstrated his love for us, his enemies. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We must surrender and trust Jesus as Lord and as our Lord. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're at home listening to this, you're listening to it on the radio or on the internet, pray with me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Two boys graduated from high school. They had not seen each other for a long, long time, and they met on the street. One of the boys was a respected lawyer in that city who had made a lot of money. The other boy had become a beggar. They met unexpectedly.